The very sad news overnight with the passing of one of the greats of cricket, an absolute... Well, the name you just know straight away. Remember, have a good weekend, Mr. Walker. He was larger than life with his books, Max Walker. And who else could we think of to pay tribute than the great Merv Hughes? Morning, Merv.
Sean, Glenn, how are you?
Good, very mate. Good.
Yeah, mate, a great bloke, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah, mate. If any... A lot of your listeners would have had contact with Max Walker, and he's just a fantastic bloke. And I think a lot of Australians have been touched by him through sportsmen's nights, through corporate functions, through conferences, whatever. And it wasn't a matter of Max Walker getting away early. It was a matter of you getting away when you could, because after the function, Max would just hang around and he'd just chew the ears off everyone. He just had time for everyone. And a lot of people don't remember how good a cricketer he was. And I think he's one of the most underrated players to play cricket for Australia.
And Merv, for a bloke who was a brilliant cricketer, a brilliant person in life, and a celebrity, there was no ego.
No. Like, he just took the piss out of himself, didn't he? He gave it to himself, and he had a million stories, and he probably had a million stories he didn't tell. So he had a few up his sleeve. But listen, he's been absolutely fantastic for cricket, and I remember when I first got in the state squad, he was there just welcoming you with open arms, and he just made you feel like one of the group, and there was no barriers with Max. When you spoke to him, he was just upfront, he was honest, he was genuine, and he's just a great fella.
Did he inspire you to grow the mo?
Well, along with Dennis Lilly, Rod Marsh and Ian Chappell, I think when I was growing up, they were some of my heroes, so I was always destined to grow a moustache, but probably... as I said, got to know him when I first got into the state squad as a 18-year-old, and he was just absolutely fantastic for me. He just helped me out no end, and just a very, very sad day.
Max, we hear that sadly he passed away of melanoma, cancer caused by a melanoma.
He'd sort of fallen off the radar. I hadn't heard too much of him over the last sort of 3 or 4 months, and I spoke to Tony Dottomate, CEO of Victorian Cricket, on Friday. And he just said that he was pretty crook. And then to hear today that he's passed away, just very sad.
Now, mate, when you first saw Maxi Bowl and you said, well, hang on, how does this bloke possibly get to be where he has? I can't even work out where the ball's going, what hand it's in or anything like that. No wonder he got the name Tanglefoot or Tangles, which was shortened there.
Yeah.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was amazing. It was off balance, but ultimately... everyone's different. That's what makes them unique. And Maxi was unique as a bowler, but at the point of delivery, everything was in the right place. And you can't understand why. And he always used to describe himself as right arm over the left ear roll and all that stuff. But, mate, for Australia, as I said, underrated player. He took a substantial amount of wickets in his 34 test matches. I think it was about 140-odd wickets. So got him at a good clip. And... he was just, if the hard work had to be done, he did it. He bowled alongside Jeff Thompson and Dennis Lilly for a long time, so he had to do the brunt of the uphill into the wind work, and he just, no complaints, just kept running in all day and bowled a lot of overs and, as I said, got a lot of wickets.
Merv, what's your favourite memory of Max in the dressing rooms?
I never played with Max in the dressing rooms, so the training dressing rooms were a little bit different. I was a young bloke and probably wasn't allowed into the rooms then, so I just got shunned aside. So things have changed now. Mm. But of Maxi, the everlasting memory is just going to be his huge smile. Yeah. Always had a smile on his face, always had a kind word. And as a cricket commentator, he did a fair bit of radio and a bit for Channel 9, never heard him say a negative word about the game or any player within the game. He always had an upbeat, positive side to things.
Now, did he play AFL?
Yeah, he did. He came across from Tasmania and played for Melbourne. Mm. So he came across to Melbourne to play football. He started playing cricket here and got elevated into the Victorian side and then obviously into the Australian side. But he came across as a footballer and a big ruckman for Melbourne.
Yeah, I just noticed a tweet there from Damien Fleming. He said he also got one Brownlow vote.
Damien Fleming would be all over it, but Big Max, he is a handy footballer. You'd probably say he would have been like, I never saw him play football, But it probably would have been the same as his cricket. He would have given his all, and he may have been a little bit unorthodox. Mm.
Was it just natural that he became an author? Because he could tell a story. He could bend your ear anywhere, as you said. But he just naturally let that flow into writing.
Yeah, he loved telling a story. And anyone that's read his books, if you read it, it reads exactly the same way as he talks.
Mm.
So there was no airs and graces. It was just, you know, this is how it's said verbally. So this is how I'm going to write it. And, you know, he is the author of a heap of different books. And my favourite book was How to Hypnotise a Chook. I thought that was one of his better ones. And probably more so than the books were just the names that he put, or the titles that he put on the books. You just scratch your head and why the hell would you call it that? But it just got everyone intrigued.
The incredible thing, Murph, he wrote 14 books, I think, all up, 7 number one bestsellers. They sold over 1 million copies. Now, I stand corrected on this, but I reckon Maxie wrote them longhand with a fountain pen too. They weren't typed. The initial.
Well, that's what you hear. I mean, that's a legend. Didn't have time for a typewriter, so just the fountain pen. And like you say, you just sit there, and he would have been thinking, if I'm talking to someone and telling a story, this is how I'm going to tell it, so this is exactly how I'm going to write it.
Well, mate, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. As you said, apart from the fact he's a legend on and off the cricket field, he's just an absolute champion bloke, Max.
Yeah, no, Max, he was an absolute champion. And like I said, the thing you're going to miss about him is that big smile and just the positive outlook that he had on life.
Yeah, Merv, we appreciate your time, mate.
No worries, Sean. Thanks, friend. Cheers, mate.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Merv Hughes. And one other thing we'll always remember Max for, Glenn, and it became part of Australian folklore, is this.
It's hot out there today, Mr. Walker.
Sure is.
Don't the crowds annoy you, Mr. Walker?
No.
Anything at all bother you?
Yes, batsmen and flies.
That any good?
I reckon it works longer than the others, son.
I used it too, Mr. Walker. Have a good weekend, Mr. Walker.
You too, son.
There you go. That was the AeroGuard commercial that made Max a household name for those who didn't know him as a cricketer. And that phrase, have a good weekend, Mr. Walker, I reckon everyone in the country's uttered that at some stage, Glenn.
Yeah, and now that Channel 9 commentary box in the sky has got another member. We've lost Tony Gregg, Richie Beno and Max Walker. I tell you what, they'll be up there fighting with each other and trying to get a word in and just reminiscing about the old time.